So the next chapter begins. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. One day, so remember, this is right after the pastime of, or excuse me, the the question of Prickett Maharaj about what Dharandrona did. One day, when Mother Yasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna. What did she do? She was remembering. She couldn't remember anything but the childish activities of Krishna. She was fully absorbed only and always. And in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about those activities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Tosini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yasoda took place on the Diwali day, Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yasoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yasoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. So she wanted to make some special Mother Yasoda was thinking that this boy is so naughty and stealing butter from everyone's house because he doesn't like the butter and yogurt in his own house. So she found, out of the 9 lakhs of cows of Nanda Maharaj, she found 5 or 6 or 7, the best cows, and she gave them special grass so their milk would be special. Those 7 cows. And she milked them, and then she was one day churning yogurt, then just trying to make the best kind of butter for Krishna. Best kind of butter, the most, so Krishna would stop the stealing. And while she was doing this, she was making up songs, making up so many songs about everything that Krishna did. And I listened to what Prabhupada said. While churning the butter, Mother Yasoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Now, we already read a little of Vishwanath's comment. Yasoda personally churned because she wanted to make special butter for her son. How could her servants, who often burn the milk, do this properly? Driven by a stubbornness arising from Vatsalya Prem, Yashoda concluded that others could not do the job properly. From that day forward, Yashoda resolved that she would prepare all of Krishna's butter, milk, and other eatables. They would be so tasty that Krishna would no longer go to the house of others to steal. Yashoda was turning the best yogurt from among countless samples that she had prepared the day before with her own hand. Having collected all the songs that the ladies of Braja had made, poetry that all the ladies in Braja would do this, make poetry about Krishna's activities, and Mother Yashoda collected them all, just like she collected the best yogurt and the best milk, everything for Krishna, she collected the best songs about Krishna too. And then Mother Yashoda began to sing these songs. Why? In order to pacify her longing to see Krishna, who was sleeping in another room. This is what Mother Yashoda looked like. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rod, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body was shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. Prabhupada's purport. Anyone who desires... Can anyone get a picture as I was reading that, or did it just sort of float by? Okay, we'll have to listen again. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari with a belt tied around her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. Now what is being described here? And what are we supposed to bring to this description?
Her appearance is described, we should bring in her feeling.
Yes, what? How much? She's just simply longing to see Krishna, just to satisfy that longing a little bit. Krishna's sleeping in the other room, so she wants to be with Krishna, but she wants to serve Krishna. So her desire to serve Krishna is stopping her from lying down with Krishna, but it's not stopping her from thinking about Krishna and missing Krishna. That's what she's doing. Because as Prabhupada said in the last purport, Vishwanath said this. She was singing these songs to pacify, to make peaceful her longing to see Krishna, and he was only just over there. But even a moment's separation from Krishna, the blinking of an eye, was too much to tolerate. So how wonderful, how wonderful. Just imagine, we can't imagine, but we should try to just imagine the nature of Yashoda's love, that she was serving Krishna, but still missing him. And just to make it tolerable, she was singing about Krishna. Naturally, she was, out of her love. So Prabhupada explains in his purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not to try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish, hold dear to their hearts this description, always thinking of Mother Yasoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yasoda and maternal affection for Krishna. Four. I will read this one paragraph of Vishwanath. Mother Yasoda's arms were tired from churning, and her arms and her sweating face both shone with Malati flowers fell like drops of rain from Yasoda's beautiful hair, which is blacker than a rain cloud. So very beautiful scene. Four. While Mother Yasoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. And in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. So he stopped her. He was sleeping. Then he came out. And to stop her from churning the butter, which was meant for him, Krishna held on to the churning rod. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So it's also interesting to note that Krishna, as soon as he got up from resting, he immediately was pulled to Mother Yasoda. He was pulled to her because of her love. He wanted to drink. He was called by her love, her desire to feed him. He had to get up. Krishna started crying. This is Vishwanath's comment to four. Immediately, as soon as he got up, he started crying from hunger upon waking in the morning. Leaving his room, Krishna approached Yasoda and held the churning rod to indicate that she should stop churning and attend to him. Yasoda's bliss increased unlimitedly upon perceiving Krishna's cleverness. What was Krishna's cleverness? He just stopped her. He was demanding, I want. And if he was just saying, I want, maybe she wouldn't. But he stopped her from churning any further. She was thinking, oh, this boy is so clever. My Krishna is so clever. Always my Krishna, my Kanaya. Because that possessing him, the full sense of Krishna is mine, was possessed by Mother Yasoda. It's called Mamata. Five. Mother Yasoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look at the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. Although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. So what was going on? Krishna came out, I'm hungry. He was immediately crying because he was hungry. He stopped her. She looked at him, embraced him, and began to feed him. And then the milk pot began to boil over. Now what is Mother Yasoda going to do? Of course we know what she's going to do. Is she going to attend to Krishna or attend to the service, which is meant for Krishna's pleasure? Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yasoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yasoda, when he saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son, who then became very angry. not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. So that is Krishna. He is Purushottam. He wants something and he wants it now. And if we don't give him what he wants, he becomes angry. And this is just, of course, to increase the rasa and the lila here. And then Prabhupada explains the issue over here, the great existential issue. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yasoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and then other things later. The proper intuition by which to do that is given. This is given by Krishna. So he was impelled. Tesham satate yuktaram bhajatam prati bhavagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyanti te. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of the Absolute Truth. So this is the spontaneous platform that's being described. The impellation of love is done by the internal energy. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Oh, how intelligent this child is. Saying this, Yasoda stopped churning and put Krishna on her lap to feed him her breast milk. But why did Mother Yasoda suddenly get up and leave? She got up to attend to the milk boiling over on the stove. But how could Mother Yasoda show so much interest in the boiling milk that she left Krishna unsatisfied and hungry? Yasoda was so concerned for what Krishna would eat and drink that she would temporarily ignore Krishna. So this is the way of love. Very, very difficult to understand. She wasn't afraid of the milk. She wasn't afraid of the boiling over and making a mess. She only had one concern. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, Vishwanath will say it in his own inimitable style. When one is impelled by love for Krishna, exactly how that moves an individual, that is Krishna's working. Only those under the sway of prema can understand or talk about the remarkable actions of one impelled by pure love for Krishna. No one else can understand these matters. See, after all, she was doing this for Krishna, and there was Krishna. So she took Krishna, and then she put Krishna down to do something for Krishna. So this gives hint to Dhyanam Samacharam. Those things connected to Krishna are even more important than Krishna. It gives hints in that direction. But did Krishna think philosophically? Did he think, oh, just see how much mother is concerned with me? That she's putting me down to so she can make the milk so I can eat later on. No, Krishna didn't think like that at all. Rather, he became angry. Not only did he become angry, he became very angry. So all this is the business of Krishna's internal energy, his yogamaya, his lila shakti, to churn. What's being churned here is not milk, but rasa is being churned. And Sukadev is explaining this so that Mother Yasoda's specific, or we can say that Krishna is acting in this way, or we can say that Yogamaya is arranging this type of a pastime to act in such a way So Mother Yasoda will act in such a way, that Krishna will act in such a way, so that this tidal wave of love that Mother Yasoda feels will start bursting over. And that will cause Krishna the greatest happiness and cause him to act as a naughty boy. And anyway, the lila will go on. So this is what Krishna did. He did not act as a good boy at all. He bit his reddish lips with his teeth, being very angry. And with false tears in his eyes, as children are known to do, they cry, oh, in full mood of, oh, look what Mother Yasoda is doing. I'm hungry and she's neglecting me. And I'm going to, this is so naughty on Mother Yasoda's part, so I'm going to do something more, even more naughty. So while she was fixing the milk pot, he broke the container of yogurt after complaining, crying, justifying it completely. He broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna shed tears. Krishna used the stone. Then he went to another room and ate the butter made from the previous day's milk. 7. Mother Yasoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot. And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. There was no doubt about it. Vishwanath, one line from Vishwanath's comment here. See, Yasoda concluded that this was definitely the work of her son. Touching her forehead to her nose, her forefinger to her nose, she started laughing. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yasoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. When Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee, as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yasoda, thinking the same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. Purport. Yogis, mystics, want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances, they try to approach him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yasoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between the bhakta and the yogi. So what is it that Mother Yasoda has that she can catch Krishna, that she's causing Krishna to become afraid? Yogis cannot approach Krishna. Tapasis, jnanis cannot approach Krishna. And even Vaikunthavasis cannot approach Krishna. So what is Mother Yasoda's consciousness like that is allowing her to not only approach Krishna, but causing Krishna to dance with her? Dance meaning participate in this leela in this way. Her vatsalya prem is so powerful that Krishna is acting just as if an ordinary boy. And he's afraid, a very naughty ordinary boy, but afraid. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yasoda's stick. This was mentioned by Kunti in her prayers. Bhaya Bhavanaya Stitasya. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yasoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Gyan Yoga and other yogis, but fail. Yet although Mother Yasoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. So whatever glimpse of love that we have, take that to try to imagine, and it can only be imagined, what Mother Yasoda's love is like. Because we can't understand. We can just, what is this called, kamutyalaya. If this is like this, just imagine what this is like.
Now here's some details supplied by Vishwanath. Yasoda found Krishna by following his butter-smeared footprints and hearing the jingling sound of his waist bells and the noises in the other room. Surmising that Krishna was eating butter, Yasoda's face broke into a smile. A few seconds later, she decided to go into the room. But by that time, Krishna had gone out the back door and into the yard. And Krishna there sat cross-legged on top of an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices due to fear of crows and other animals. The verse describes this. After stealing the butter pot hanging from the ceiling of the storeroom, Krishna brought it there. He was afraid of being beaten by his mother for having stolen the butter, so he was anxiously looking hither and thither and looking for a path of escape. Seeing Krishna from inside the house by craning her neck, Yasoda then very cautiously and silently approached him from behind so that Krishna could not see her and that she could catch him in her hands. Yasoda held a stick in her hand to instill fear in Krishna. He is described as very much afraid because he understood the great affection of his mother, although internally Krishna had no fear. Or it could mean that Krishna stood up and fled in a fearful manner. Yasoda chased her son, who can never be obtained even by great mystics and yogis, who perform austerities, penances, and meditation to enter Brahman. This point is made clear in verse 21. Nayam sukapo bhagavan. Bhagavan, see Krishna, is not easily obtainable. He is not cheap. 10. So we'll read two more verses. While following Krishna, Mother Yasoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. When caught by Mother Yasoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she was looking upon him, she saw that he was crying, his tears mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yasoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. So Prabhupada in his purports just makes the point again and again that this is what a devotee can do. This is to the extent of what a devotee can do. Completely control Krishna, completely make Krishna rub his eyes, cry false tears, cry real tears, make the kajal, the anjana, smear down his eyes, make him admit his faults, cry. And she was just holding him by the hand at this point. And she began to chastise him. Krishna, why are you doing these kind of things? And he's crying in fear. So only the bhakti can do this. Prabhupada quotes, bhakti mam abhijananti.
If one wants to capture Krishna, one must become a bhakta. And then we can even look at our own bhakti and that would be very good. Oh, so many opportunities to chant. So many opportunities to sincerely pray. And look what I do. Just desire, sense enjoyment, position, this, that. Trying to become comfortable in the material world. Trying to do this, that. And this is what bhakti is. So Sukadev and Prabhupada, especially in Prabhupada's purpose, he's holding up a picture for us to see what bhakti is and what his capacity is. And to increase the distance between our conception of ourself and what is required to love Krishna. To increase the distance between our conception of who we are, what kind of devotees we are, and what is required to actually enter into Vrindavan. That distance must increase to the greatest extent so that some transcendental lamentation and tears take birth in the heart. And then, when those infuse our chanting, then our chanting will have potency. But now, my chanting reflects my consciousness, which isn't very good, and nor does it even care. Mother Yasoda can't see Krishna for a moment, and she's lamenting, and I don't see Krishna ever. And I don't even care. So what will be the fate of such a person? So this type of internal dialogue with oneself, we need to think in this way. This is true lamentation, true humility, not the kind of thing that usually goes on, just, you know, the self-criticism that just goes on and on about how bad one is and doesn't really have any positive outcome. It's just maya. But this is the proper use of those sentiments. How far I am, oh Krishna, how much does one need mercy if one is thinking in this way? So we'll read two... this last comment by Vishwanath. Not only did Yasoda catch Krishna, who cannot be realized by the best of yogis, but she also scolded. That, what does scolded mean?
Chastise.
Mild chastisement. She scolded that Supreme Person who was constantly praised by Lord Brahma, Shiva, and other exalted demigods. So what is he setting up here? Vishwanath setting up a contrast between how Mother Yasoda is treating Krishna and how Lord Shiva and Brahma, the topmost of the demigods, treats Krishna. With a stick in her hand, so she picks up a stick, what kind of consciousness does she have? She instills fear in Krishna, who instills fear in time and death personified. This verse is spoken with the intention of describing this amazing spiritual scene. Now, what was Krishna doing? He was rubbing his eyes, which were smeared with black anjan, with the back of his left hand. And Mother Yasoda held Krishna's right hand and was threatening him. So Krishna's right hand is that one. So with her left hand, she's holding his right hand. And with her right hand, she's holding a stick. And with Krishna's left hand, He's rubbing his eyes, smearing it, just to make sure that she understands how frightened he is, and that he'll never do such a thing again, and that she shouldn't frighten him so much. After all, I'm just a little boy, and I'd never even do anything bad. So Mother Yasoda mildly chastises Krishna. You have such a restless nature, O friend of the monkeys, you pot breaker. Where will you get butter today? I'm holding you. Now I shall bind you so that you cannot steal butter and eat it with your friends. Are you afraid that I'll beat you with this stick?
Yes, brother, I'm so afraid.
While rebuking Krishna, Yasoda lifted the stick as if to beat him, although she would never do such a thing, Vishnu says. So I'd like to read. More in the mood of Mother Yasoda, and how she, and what loving, sweet exchanges and affection they're having. We're not going to take the help of your, not going to take the help of your tambura today, but I brought my own little machine. I'm going to try it out for the first time and see if it's going to do the correct thing. Krishna's pastimes of crawling about and drinking his mother's breast milk gradually stopped. Soon, he walked on his lotus feet and started stealing butter. Is there anyone who did not feel unlimited bliss when the Lord, who is the very source of bliss, enacted his childhood pastimes? One day, while no one was looking, Krishna began his pastimes of stealing fresh butter. Startled upon seeing his own reflection in a jeweled inlaid pillar, he shivered in fear and said, "Oh, dear brother, do not tell mother. I will save some butter for you, and you may enjoy also." Mother Yasoda was watching her mischievous son from a hidden place, and she heard Krishna's sweet broken words with great relish. Then she innocently appeared before Krishna and Rama. Pointing to his effulgent reflection, Krishna said, "Oh, Maya, being very greedy, this boy came here today in order to steal your butter. Although I forbade him to do so, he did not listen to me. And when I got angry with him, he also got angry. But I am not at all greedy for butter." One day, while Yasoda was outside the house engaged in some domestic activities, inside the house, Krishna stole butter again. When Yasoda returned and called out, "Oh, my darling Krishna, where are you? What are you doing?" Hearing her, Krishna became afraid and he stopped stealing butter. He paused for a moment upon hearing her words and said, "Mother, my hand started burning from the shining effulgence of my ruby bangle, so I stuck it in this butter pot just to remove the pain." Pleased by her son's clever words, Yasoda said, "Oh, Vatsa, please come sit on my lap. Oh, my darling, show me the burns on your hand." Then Yasoda kissed Krishna's hand and consoled him, saying, Oh, look, your hand has been burned. So let me remove these ruby bangles." On another day, Krishna cried and rubbed his eyes with his flower bud-like palms. In a choked voice, he uttered phrases, words that no one could understand. Even though Yasoda had previously scolded Krishna for stealing butter, this time she simply wiped the tears from his eyes with the edge of her sari. While tenderly caressing Krishna, she said, "Hey, Lala, all of our stock of butter actually belongs to you alone."
One night, the soothing rays of the full moon illumined the courtyard of Nanda's house. Yasoda sat there talking with some elderly gopis while Krishna played nearby, and he just looked and looked at the moon. Sneaking up behind Yasoda, Krishna removed the veil covering her head and loosened her braid and patted her on the back to get her attention with his hands. His lotus palms were as soft as butter. His voice was choked up as he continually cried, and Yasoda's heart swelled with maternal love, so she indicated with a glance that her friends should attend to Krishna. With great respect and affection, the gopis enthusiastically lifted Krishna up and asked, "Oh, darling, what do you want? Do you want some kheer?" Krishna was crying. He said, "No, no. Do you want some thick, creamy yogurt?" Krishna replied, "No, no. Do you want some cheese?" Again, Krishna said, "No, no. I want freshly churned condensed butter." The gopis continued, "Do not lament or be angry with your mother. What do you mean by condensed butter?" Krishna then took his finger and pointed it to the full moon. Krishna replied, "I want that freshly churned condensed butter." And the elderly gopi said, "Oh, Vatsa, do not mistake the moon for a huge piece of butter. It is a Rajahansa, it is a royal swan that glides across the lake of the sky." And Krishna said, "Then give me that Rajahamsa so I can play with him. Quickly catch him before he reaches the bank of the lake." Full of anxiety, Krishna kicked his legs and loudly cried, give me, I want it." While Krishna showed his childish antics, some other gopis said, "Oh, darling, they have lied to you. What you see is not a Rajahamsa, but is the moon hanging in the sky. And it is called Chandra." Krishna said, "Then give me that Chandra. I really want it so I can play with it. Right now, get it." Krishna was crying, and Yasoda placed her crying son on her lap and comforted him. "Oh, darling, actually, it is freshly churned condensed butter. Definitely it is not a Rajahamsa, and it is definitely, definitely not the moon. Regardless, I can never give it to you. Do you know why? Just see. Just by chance, or just by the arrangement of providence, see, it has poisonous spots on it. Although it looks very tasty, due to that poison, no one in this world can eat it." Then Krishna said, "Mother, mother, why is it stained with spots of poison? And what is poison anyway?" Seeing a change in Krishna's mood, Mother Yasoda embraced him and spoke in a gentle, sweet voice, "Listen attentively, my dearest son. There is an ocean of milk called Kshir Sagar." Krishna said, "Mother, please tell me about it. How can there be milk without cows?" Yasoda said, "The one who gave cows the ability to produce milk can also make milk even without cows." Krishna, "Who is that person?" Yasoda, "He is the Lord. He is the cause of creation. He is Bhagavan. He is immovable. He is all-pervading. Although he is everywhere, I cannot show him to you." "Mother, are you telling me the truth?" Yasoda, "Long ago, the demigods and demons had a fight. To favor the demigods and to bewilder the demons, the Lord churned the ocean of milk. Mandara Mountain served as the churning rod, and Vasuki, the king of the serpents, offered his body for the rope. The demons and demigods stood on opposite sides, and they pulled the rope to churn. Mother, Did they churn the ocean the way that the gopis churn? Yes, my son. The churning of the Kshirasagara produced a poison named Kalakuta. Mother, how did the churning milk produce poison? Only snakes have poison. Darling, Mahadev drank that poison. But the snakes drank the drops of poison that fell from his mouth, and as a result, they now have poison. The poison rising from that milk is also the energy of the Lord. Yes, Mother, that is indeed true. Oh, darling, this condensed butter you're seeing in the sky is produced from that Kshirasagara. That is why the moon is spotted with the remnants of that poison. Look carefully. Do you see it? Therefore, do not try to eat that butter, but please take my freshly churned butter instead. After hearing this description, Krishna felt sleepy, so Mother Yasoda put him to rest in an opulent golden bed on a fluffy and soft mattress that was whiter than powdered camphor. The next morning, Yasoda brought butter, yogurt, and other eatables into Krishna's room. She lovingly fondled his body, and she said, "Wake up, wake up. You seem to be weak from not eating sufficiently yesterday." And after Krishna awoke, Yasoda cleansed his mouth with scented water. Then she offered him a golden plate full of butter, yogurt, and other delights, while saying, "Oh, my beloved son, take whatever you like." Krishna replied, "Mother, I will not eat anything that you have brought me. Last night you lied to me and put me to sleep, and I felt very distressed due to hunger." Yasoda said, "Krishna, if you went to sleep, then who was it that stole the butter?" Krishna replied, "Mother, when did I steal your butter? You are lying." In this way, with his charming transcendental pastimes, Krishna continually captivated the heart of Mother Yasoda. And this is something that Jiva Goswami wrote. Accompanied by his companions as he walked on the pathway and into the courtyard, Balaram's younger brother, whose actions are filled with wonder and delight, heard a great tumult. In her heart, yearning to hear of her son's mischief, Braja's queen Yashoda argued with some gopis who, in order to increase the bliss of boy Krishna's pastimes, very strongly complained about Krishna's mischievous pranks. Accompanied by her son, Braja's queen Yasoda sat on a golden asan. Many other ladies of Braja, each of them filled with a different ecstasy of love for Krishna, approached the jeweled footstool at Yasoda's feet. And tasting the effulgent nectar of many words filled with the ecstasy of spiritual love for Krishna, as she argued with the gopis, Mother Yasoda was effulgent. Mother Yasoda and the gopis argued in the way narrated in the following song. Tava shuno mohor anayam kurute. Your son is always mischievous. Akurat kim va vyanjita kurute. Oh, you are a critic. What has he done? Munchati vatsan brahmam brahmam. He wanders about the village and releases all our calves. Satshivyam va kurute kamam. He's your friend, and he's doing it only to help you. He releases the calves at the wrong time, and this brings us great unhappiness. Why would he do that? Who would do such a thing without a reason? O Queen, he does this without any reason. O noble ladies, why do you not angrily scold him then? When I scold him, he simply laughs at me. Well, splash water on him. That will stop him. He steals my delicious foods, and he eats it himself. Foolish woman, why do you leave the food out in plain view? He is the guru of all thieves. It is not true, your words are all lies. He stands on a chair or any other object to reach my supply of milk. Then keep your milk very high so he cannot reach it. When he cannot reach the pot because it's too high, he finds a way to poke a hole in it. Oh, noble lady, how can he be so clever enough to do all those things? He's so young. He's very intelligent. I say it's not possible. He's only a child. He knows all the places where I hide butter. You should put it in your darkest closet. That will frighten him. My closet has proved itself useless. The effulgence of his body lights up the darkness. Well, then I shall anoint his body with dark cosmetics that will cover his effulgence. I shall do this in your presence. You can watch me as I do it. It is no use. The effulgence of his jewels has made the darkness appear very insignificant. I cannot take away his jewels. What child can remain without ornaments? Yasoda, he also feeds the monkeys. Of course, how much do you think he can eat by himself? When he cannot reach a pot, he just breaks it. That is his way of telling you that the pot is not pure. And then when he leaves our houses, he pinches the babies and makes them cry. That cannot be true. He's always well behaved to the good women of Braja. He passes urine in my home. No, no. That is only some dust fallen on some oil. And look at him now, sitting there so innocently. He's standing so still and smiling. That is because he is struck with wonder by the sweetness of your words. Again and again the gopis spoke in this way. But they found that Mother Yasoda remained always firmly convinced of her son's complete innocence. This is not surprising, because Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is just like that of a human boy, had stolen Mother Yasoda's heart. Why should she not have been entranced by him, kept by him, as if under a spell? Hearing the wave-filled flood of complaints spoken by the fair and eloquent gopis, and gazing at small Krishna's wonderful handsome face as he rubbed his restlessly moving eyes, Mother Yasoda smiled. Observing Mother Yasoda's smile, the other gopis spoke this vow to her. If your son performs any more of his saintly activities, we're going to come to your house again to speak to you. At once! Smiling, Mother Yasoda replied, very good, very good. If you come, your presence will bring auspiciousness to my house. The gopis then thought, in truth, no matter what we say, Mother Yasoda will remain perfectly saintly, perfectly gentle, and firmly convinced of her son's complete innocence. her small son will also again and again visit our homes as he did in the past.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes. Somewhere it is written, in, I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one drop of love of Braja Prem or the love of the gopis, perhaps it's written, is enough to drown the whole world. So one drop from the tidal wave of Mahisoda is enough to drown the world. Did you have a question, Prabhu?
Yeah. Gopis have intense love for Krishna. So why are they complaining that they...
Because they want to churn the ocean of that love. They want to churn the ocean. The love has to be... The ocean has to be churned. Look what your boy has done. They're watching him the whole time. They're placing the food... The butter there. They're waiting for him. You've done this too. Sometimes there's a little child in your neighborhood that you have affection for and you seem to, why are you doing like that? You shouldn't be acting like that. I will tell your mother, oh, please don't. And then the heart, the affection just shifts and changes and increases. This is the methodology that the residents of Vrindavan know and that Krishna knows, how to increase each other's love. How to make waves on the ocean of bhakti rasa. This is their expertise. This is what Yoga Maya completely does. This is what Krishna's Lila Shakti does. This is Rasaraj and Mahabhava. Everyone knows just what to do because what is the guiding force there? What is the guiding force in Braja? It is prema. It makes everything work perfectly. Here the guiding force is lust, selfishness, selfish desires. So nothing works. It gives. We have the outer externals of something working properly, but nothing works. But when love is dictating, everything works perfectly.
So although they're complaining, they're driving pleasure out of it.
Of course. Every day they conclude he's going to come, and they've already arranged it. Every day they have a chance to come and complain to Mother Yasoda, and what's Mother Yasoda? Her love, and Krishna standing there, I didn't do anything. I'm just very innocently smiling. I'm such a good boy, why would I do something like that? I'd never do something like that. So it's all turning. And just see how your boy is just sitting there smiling as we're complaining about it. Innocently, I wouldn't do anything like that, mother. I wouldn't do anything like that. I'm such a good boy. So it's all churning of rasa.
First line, where she churns, there is a rattle sound. You see, tu ti ta te ti tra dha, like the anuprasa on the T line, ta line.
Yeah. English is alliteration.
Alliteration. And the second line is the swish sa sneha snuta. Subru, the swishing sound is there, alliteration. Then the third line, there is the jingle of her bells. Juka, ja, cha, ka, ka, ku, cha. Yeah? Is the bell jingle. And then in the end, when her braid slips down, there's a several M, Mama, Malati Nirmamanta, something. Very musical.
So the great devotees in previous times, they would be able to commit to memory all these verses, and they know, their knowledge was so deep, and they would know the verses and immediately understand the meaning, and just by reciting them and singing them, they would just float in the ocean of the pastime, mantra upasana. That's what, when it's said that it's meant for meditation, that's what it means, basically, mantra upasana. Wonderful. Any more on that, or anything else? Questions, comments?
Prabhu, in text 5, Mother Yashoda doing devotional service when she went to attend to the pot of boiling milk on the stove, because Krishna was not pleased at that point.
He was so pleased.
He was crying.
Well, why was he crying? He was so
angry she left him.
But this is the way of rasa. Vrindavan rasa is crooked. Everything is crooked. Everything is crooked. So pleased. How could he not be pleased? Everything she does is filled with the highest, most exalted love. So how he reciprocates with her loving offering of making the milk pot is by crying and getting angry and breaking the pot. So then Mother Yashoda says, oh my boy, I have to. She gets angry out of her love. And then she has to punish him. And he starts crying. That's his reciprocation with that. Her desire to love him as a mother, because it's the mother's pleasure to chastise like that. It's her duty, dutiful pleasure. So her pleasure in doing that is so great. And her loving desire is that it forces Krishna to cry and reciprocate just like a little boy. If he would have said, I am the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, universes come from my skin holes, put your stick down. So no. What would she say? She'd say, Krishna, don't play any of your tricks, don't steal butter anymore. It would have no effect on her. Just so little, two and a half. Broken speaking still. Yes.
Krishna gets very angry when he doesn't get attention. So I was thinking that while chanting, if you lose attention maybe for a few minutes or a few seconds, how angry he would get.
Perhaps that's different, but it's an interesting thought. What's the difference between our chanting and inattention and Mother Yashoda's?
Mother Yashoda is serving and we are also glorifying. So
what's the difference? It's not possible for Mother Yashoda to have inattention. It's not possible. Not for half of a moment. Not for half of a half of a quarter of a moment. She cannot have inattention to Krishna. So everything is just the play and the activity in variety of her prema. For us, it's maya. So Krishna doesn't get angry
at our maya. There's something worse than getting angry.
Indifference,
yes. Okay. You want to be inattentive to me? I will be inattentive to you. Krishna's anger is his blessing. It's love. Any other questions or comments?
These are, this particular called pastime is taking part also in Goloka Vrindavan. It's an eternal pastime. It's an ongoing rasa exchange.
There's no time, only serves the Lord's pastimes.
Yeah, but location-wise, it's
time and space only serve Krishna's pastimes. So, yeah, they can be eternal.
And what is happening here is projection of that pastime into the realm of Devidam.
No, it's real also. Projection doesn't have the dimensions of reality.
Yeah, it's real.
It's real.
Yeah,
but it just has some specific features that Goloka Vrindavan doesn't have.
It's a manifestation of that same reality in this world. So it's all Chaitanya. It's all completely different.
All complete?
Different from what our experience is with our senses.
Read what Prabodhananda Saraswati says, and you can his what he sees in Vrindavan is different.
Yeah, it's all conscious.
Or you read how Kaviraj Goswami Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami describes Radhakunda or something.
Yeah.
It's very different from what we see.
The milk is conscious, the flower garland of this one, the Solomon is conscious.
It's conscious of what?
As a being.
But conscious, no, not
Krishna.
It's all want to serve Krishna in a particular way. Krishna conscious.
But they're all entities.
But not only are they entities, they're Krishna conscious entities, that their only desire is to please Krishna. Yeah. With whatever they are, their existence is meant for Krishna. So the trees want to offer fruits and flowers. The peacocks want to offer their dancing and their feathers and their cooing, meowing. And the monkeys, what do they want to offer? They're pranks, they're playful, they enter the scene and cause havoc. So everything. Okay, should stop. Thank you very much. Shiva Bhagavatam ki jay, Shuddha Vatsalya Prema ki jay, Tai Gaur Premanandi.